They track, they target. That hotel, those shoes, your searches, your clicks, every time you come back. Prices can change when websites know you want something. Look again and all of a sudden it costs more, and they saw you coming. Startpage, the private search engine, helps keep what you look up online from becoming a price tag. Nothing saved, nothing to use against you. What you search for is your business. Try Startpage, the private search engine, at startpage.com. That's startpage.com.
Believe it or not, the regular season is halfway complete for Ohio State. The work week for the Buckeyes to get ready for Wisconsin is only just beginning, because look at this. It's Talkin' Tuesday on the beat. I am Austin Ward, joined as always by 10TV's Television's Adam King with his thoughts as we get ready to head into the Woody Hayes Athletic Center to hear from Ohio State coach Ryan Day. Buckeyes undefeated, still number one, and getting ready for Wisconsin. And there's a lot to talk about. But this season, Adam, it's going pretty fast.
It is ridiculously fast. It's hard to believe we're halfway through the regular season. And diving in, one thing that, and this is a silly question to ask Ryan Day, but I kind of want to ask it, and is to say, am I wrong here? I'm going to preface it with that.
Okay.
But I feel like Ohio State is simply put in every game for the last 3 weeks, gotten the game in hand early on. I mean, even when they were down to Washington, they figured it out there at the half and went into that next portion of the game to try to build strength in the areas they struggle.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I have always seen. There are people, some of them are named Berm, that were very frustrated with the performance against Illinois. And Berm, you are exactly right to be frustrated with that fourth quarter. Ryan Day was frustrated with that fourth quarter. But I felt that a lot of what Ohio State, specifically on offense, was doing in that third quarter, in the second quarter, this fourth quarter got away from them a little bit, but is strictly trying to develop that run game, strictly trying to develop the passing to the tight ends, trying to fix the things that they think are most in need of work.
Enhance your weakness.
Enhance your weakness, as opposed to win 70-0. I understand the frustration that Ohio State has not won any of these games. I mean, I'm trying to think back in my mind. They haven't put up more than, 45 against anybody other than Grambling?
Yeah.
So I get the frustration that you want to see Ohio State week in and week out. And now I'm talking to the Buckeye Nation, not Berm. Berm didn't say that.
America.
I'm speaking to America right now. I get that that's fun. But throwing to Jeremiah Smith 18 times does not build you a football program. It might work against Illinois. They really could have, and we talked about this in the press box, the play that they threw to Illinois, or threw to Jeremiah. Illinois lined up on that same play six different times. And Ohio State ran the ball, I think, the first five times. And every time I said, Jeremiah's in man coverage, Jeremiah, you could throw him the ball.
Yeah.
And every time Ohio State didn't, because they were trying to build that strength in the trenches. They were trying to build that moment where if that's not Illinois on the other sideline, they can get that 1 yard.
Yeah.
Then Illinois went and scored. And not surprisingly, Ohio State said, all right, well, we need a touchdown. So they threw to Jeremiah.
So maybe go get one.
Let's go get one. The easiest way. So I guess that is a roundabout way to ask Ryan Day, am I wrong? Like, or are you intentionally focusing on your weaknesses in a game where you feel that your defense and your offense at its peak is no world going to lose this game?
Yeah, and I think there are multiple reasons why. You're hitting on one for sure, Adam. And I think that there's another one that maybe we haven't discussed as much. And Ryan Day, I don't know that he has addressed it directly. But part of this conversation about tempo, and I know that that doesn't necessarily apply to red zone and the way that Ohio State has been running in short yardage situations, but when we talk about tempo, when we talk about cutting down possessions and number of plays in a game, it is not just to work on these things. It is not just to expand the view out to the playing 16 games, but it is also designed to protect Ohio State's defense within games from week to week.
Hmm.
It is still a reality. As great as Matt Patricia and the Silver Bullets have played in the schemes that they show every single week, we saw a week ago, once you removed Edrick Houston, he was fully out of that game, did not play with that injury against Illinois. And you saw Tywan Malone play one of his best games, but then the drop off from there, the depth is still not at the Ohio State level necessarily. Jason Moore, I think he can grow and maybe he'll make the most out of those reps moving forward. We've seen them, they didn't want to put Kenyatta Jackson, I think, in harm's way a ton of time on Saturday against Illinois. So, even if you're going at linebacker and you're really confident with Peyton Pierce as the third, I don't think Ohio State is yet in that mind frame where they trust Riley Pettijohn to be the fourth guy and to play 15 to 20 snaps so that you're not asking the starting defensive players to play 40, 50, 60, 70 snaps for Caleb Downs, Sonny Styles, Arvell Reese. They're not going to be as effective if you add to their workload. So this is not just an offensive conversation. It also applies to the defense and protecting some of that depth and keeping them fresh within games.
There's the key.
And I think that sometimes that gets lost because the push is we'll get two more possessions and get 15 more reps to get more wide receivers in the game or to give different carries and work on these things here. It's a holistic approach that I think is also very different for Ryan Day now than it was, you know, at any point in the first 6 years.
Maybe this is just me leaning too much on last year, but I find it very, very hard to look at that Oregon game, to look at that Notre Dame game and see that offense and the Tennessee game. And see that offense and not think that is exactly what this Ohio State offense could be, maybe even better if they let the reins go. But they don't want to let the reins go right now because, a great example, look at the Texas game. They had to win that game in a different way. This is a team that is trying to figure out how to win games in every way they would possibly need to leading up to the end of the season.
Yeah.
And that big one at the end of the year. Obviously, I think that's probably where they let the reins go and say, all right, we got a point to prove. Let's do it. We're no longer learning in this moment.
And we would have thought that they would, you know, want or need to do that against Penn State. That may not be the reality of that matchup anymore.
We thought, you know what? That's a really good point. And maybe there's a question in there because it really doesn't feel like, other than Texas early on this season, that they've had to do that in a game. And so you could ask, right, like, are you surprised at the ability in which, and the defense has probably been a strength in helping that,
yeah,
you've been able to go out there and hammer the weaknesses on offense because Illinois, we thought, might be a slugfest at the beginning of the year. Wisconsin, we thought was going to, I mean, I circled that game. I said, listen, if this Badgers team is who I think they are, going on the road a night game, this could be challenging. And then the Badgers team was not who I thought they were. So that no longer is there. But Penn State, you're right. That one doesn't seem like it carries that weight. There's really not a game until Michigan that you circle and say, we need to go out there and play at our strengths to put up as many points as we can. So then this feels like a major blessing for the Buckeyes. Like,
yeah.
I feel like what we saw against Illinois was great. I called it a win-win because you can win the game and also go back and Matt Patricia sits down and goes, wow, this, that's what you want.
You want to learn from a win. And if you can do even more than that and win from an 18-point
over top 20 team,
like, then you take that all day every
year. But it was wild. The reaction, I just wanted to get that out before we really dove into talk. I was just stunned. And it wasn't, you know, I called Berm out because I like to have fun with Berm and give him a hard time. But I thought he had made a lot of good points, but it wasn't just Berm. It was everywhere. People were saying, like, what the heck? And Ohio State does not need to score 70 points to be the number one team in the country. I actually give credit to a lot of the people out there right now that continue to have Ohio State number one because they're just dominating games.
Yeah.
I believe your term was best be hitting the old dusty trail after like they were up 10-0.
It's 20-0. Yeah, and it was like, well, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Like they,
I mean, we had to wait 3 more hours for the game to get over.
Exactly. That's what it's felt like in Washington after they started dominating. I mean, OU got a little dicey for a second. It's like, all right, let's get out of here. Like, yeah. they are growing. And you mentioned the freshness on defense. That's a big thing.
And I think there's something important that you said there.
Hey, one thing. There was one important thing.
Something I want to reiterate. There were a lot of important things.
No, there were one.
You don't have to score 70 points. You don't have to score 60 points. You don't have to score 50 points. This team doesn't have to score 40 points. They don't even have to score 30 points a game to win. They don't have to score 20 points a game. The season high allowed was Saturday against Illinois. It was 16. And we're like, what the heck, man?
What are you guys doing?
Two touchdowns. This is Ryan Day sending the starters back out there with 2 minutes
left
to go.
Which I loved.
In the fourth quarter. Like, I mean, it's part of the recalibration. I know we've talked about that in a lot of different ways for college football as a whole. But this team specifically, when we've talked about the NFL approach, the NFL mentality, the Al Davis just win baby stuff that, like Ryan Day said before,
at the very beginning of the year.
Like that also still applies to ranked Illinois on the road. That applies to going to deal with the noise at Washington. It applied at home against Minnesota. If they wanted to score 60 against Minnesota, they absolutely could have. Like the opportunities were there, and we saw the passing attack explode in that. Ryan Day mentioned this on Saturday after the game, where it's like, yes, Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate wanted the passing attack to look like it did last week, every week. That's not going to be the way teams defend them, and it's not going to be in the best interest of a 16-game season. And I know that America, that it's frustrating to hear that when you know that, like, you could realistically say, well, they didn't play to their full potential on offense. That's true, but they didn't need to play to their full potential, so they didn't try to play to their full potential in terms of up-tempo, airing it out, 17 targets for Jeremiah. You mentioned this very early on, Adam, when you were talking about what the offense looked like against Tennessee, Oregon, Notre Dame in the playoff push. Those were high-stakes games mm-hmm. where it was like you had to empty the chamber. Mm-hmm. Ohio State can win when it doesn't have to fire every bullet.
That's a perfect way to put it. And the next question I would ask for Ryan about this offense is, and I kind of thought this on Saturday, are you halfway to your full potential? Like, we're halfway through the season, and people talk about peaking at the right time. I feel like this offense is halfway there. Like, I don't even think, which I love, like, I don't think that we have seen this offense near as good as it can be. That's why they're hammering the weaknesses, yeah. because once you figure that out, then your strengths, of course, can take over. I'm beyond excited to see what this offense looks like at the end of the year. And I guess this is another question we can ask it. If people really want to, what is the play calling like right now? How is that role? We haven't really touched on it in a long time. What is the balance there with Brian Hartline? I think that Brian Hartline's called a fine. I thought he called a fine game against Illinois. I mean, there were some, again, you've got to put an asterisk on that fourth quarter because Ohio State admittedly said, they lost focus. They let off the gas. If that's why you're frustrated, you have every reason to be frustrated. They are frustrated about it too. But if you're looking at the whole scope of the game, Ohio State moved the ball. The red zone questions are going to still be there. And that's probably the biggest question about this offense.
Yeah.
And I guess the only way you solve the red zone is to solve the run game. And so I'll ask you, it's a talking Tuesday. I'm supposed to ask Ryan, but like, what's your worry level of the run game?
It's escalating a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know that I'm panicked about it. There's a lot of... So Spencer Holbrook at Letterman Row was digging into this, and I think he's writing a story about it this week. And I know for sure that he has that question for Ryan Day on a Talking Tuesday later today.
I'll ask it before.
Yeah, you can steal it
right
now.
Yeah, I'm going to steal his question.
So, you know, because a lot of it is going to come up. If there is the most room to grow looking at this team, it has to be with their run game. And if you want to drill down more specifically to the red zone and short yardage, I think that would be fair. But some of it has been a recurring theme over several years, which is, you know, some of the predictability about the run schemes. If they're lining up in pistol, that you pretty much know, like everyone, you and I are sitting in the press box. We guess right more than we guess wrong
yeah.
about Ohio State's running attack. And we're not college Big Ten defensive coordinators.
Could be.
So they probably are able to figure
something. Put my resume out there.
Well, I think you've got a really good chance. Penn State might have an opening.
Hey-o! Hey-o!
And they're trying to probably save some pennies over there. But I think, and I don't know the solution to this, and I don't think that there's just been one problem. Ryan Day has said that he feels like it is a solid rush game. When they're getting 4 and 5 yards, they can do that pretty regularly. That's how they get to the red zone more often than not, more than just about anybody in the Big Ten. They are stringing together drives, efficient drives. He doesn't seem panicked by it. He's been focused on the lack of the explosive mm-hmm. runs. And I think that that can be traced to some of it has been predictability out of formation. Some of it has been times where they've missed blocks. We've seen, Josh Padilla again got in and got some reps at right guard against Illinois. They are continuing to use your word there to tinker with some of the personnel in that group. There have also been opportunities where the wide receivers and tight ends have been missing blocks. It's not been one consistent thing. They've been off on one piece here, and the next play it might be over there. On the end around to Jeremiah Smith,
oof.
You see Max Clear and Austin Searle.
Yeah,
two guys. Max Clear has taken dramatic strides forward as a blocker at Ohio State. And Austin Searle
is amazing.
Has been the rock yeah. for Ohio State. And they just had a little bit of a miscommunication, missed assignment situation where that could have been the explosive gain. Then the stats look different for Jeremiah and they look different for the run game. So I can't pinpoint one thing, which has got to also be the frustration for, you know, Ohio State fans watching it and certainly for the coaching staff because, you know, I don't think that you can say this is just the one thing that's going wrong. Let's fix that and everything will be fine. It has been different things popping up at different times.
But I think the good thing, and I don't know, lie detector Ryan question. Because, yep. You know, you can't say some things. I feel like if he was being honest, he would tell you that this offense is very close on a lot of things.
Yes.
And like it would be very concerning if we were standing here today, like the run game doesn't work. The offensive line can't block. Like,
there's no way they could do it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Like, it feels like the deep ball for Julian is there. It feels like the offensive line, shout out to the O-line. I mean, goodness gracious, they're amazing. Like, the running backs are growing. It feels like there are just a few things. You talk about the blocking there on that Jeremiah play. If that goes right, this game looks a lot different. People are talking, but so I think Ryan has to be happy with the fact that there's still so much room to grow. But it's not, it doesn't feel like a work in progress. It feels like a team that, quite frankly, right now is still the best team in America. And again, I don't think is near the peak level.
Yeah.
I think the defense being frustrated by two touchdowns is a wildly amazing thing that I love. I mean, after the game, they were obviously unhappy with how that played out. But I don't know, the run game, it worries me to an extent. I think the more you lean on Bo Jackson in as an every down back, aside from the power, you know, moments, yeah. I think is a good thing. And I like James Peoples. I just think he's not there right now. And I think another kind of tinkering is giving guys their opportunity to shine. But at some point when they're hindering the offense, you've got to go with CJ Donaldson and Bo Jackson until we can get things figured out with Peoples. Yeah. And it's a good place to be if I'm Ohio State. I know fans are frustrated. I know it's quote unquote boring. Like, it's not like, that's what I feel like people are like, well, this is boring. Do you know how impressive these 14 play drives are? I think when I look at Ohio State, my biggest concerns every single season are offenses that only score in the explosive.
Yeah.
There are a lot of times, if you look back at an Ohio State offense, they hit the big play. But then you say, what if you go up against that defense that can really, you know, is not going to give up that big play? Can you drive down the field?
Yeah.
This season, and I'd like to ask Ryan this, like, are you impressed with how many times this offense has had double-digit drives? It might be the most in his tenure because they continue to just grind it out on the slant routes. And this, I mean, Carnell, just the perfect placements for, they're only 11 yards, but these are the catches that change a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I am very optimistic. I think this is the most optimistic I've been on a Talkin' Tuesday all season. I just feel like what they showed at Illinois tells me that where they're going is sky high.
But I thought everyone was supposed to panic.
That's why I'm in a weird, like, I'm in a weird mood today. Because, like, I walked away from that game. And I was like, yeah, that fourth quarter was kind of, ugh. Like, we could have gone home. Like, that was
here's what I'd like to do. Let's just put it in our brains that fourth quarter happened in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Like, move them around, if that helps.
And they finished strong.
Because it did leave a sour taste.
Yes, you're right.
A sour taste in the mouth. That applies to the people going to the locker room that played in that game. It certainly applied to Berm when we did snap judgments on 97.1's YouTube channel, 10TV, 10TV Plus, Apple, Spotify, Roku, anywhere you get podcasts. Like, that's not what he's normally like.
But it wasn't just Berm. I mean, the amount of texts that I was getting and still have people saying, like, I don't know, man. They went on the road. And then how good is Illinois? You know, how good is Washington? How good is Texas? You know what? Let's play this game to the championship. I'll ride it all the way to Miami. We can get there. They can beat the Hurricanes. And you could say, well, how good was all of college football this year, really? I mean, it's obnoxious at this point.
I think they'll still give them the trophy.
That's all that matters. The shiny thing stands in the woody. So I just, Saturday was such a weird dynamic because it was like, well, you just got a huge win. And everybody's just unhappy. I'm fine with overarching thing.
Do it.
If you told me the offense was not intentionally trying to slow the game down, I would be horrified. If you were like, this is the offense and they're trying to play up tempo and they want more plays and they want to move faster, I'd be like, oh boy, we got a problem.
Yeah.
This is all intentional. This is, and everybody knows it by now. Ryan has been very open with it. It's a 16-game season. You want your guys the freshest when they play that game at the end of November, when they play the Big Ten Championship this year. Like, they got, the one thing, and maybe here's a question overarching. You probably have to ask Ryan this in the spring because I don't think he'd tell you right now. I don't think that Ryan Day cares about the final score of any game except that Ohio State wins by one. And I don't think that that's always true. I don't think in his career that was always true.
I don't know. I think he has talked about that at times during the season, like, that it used to be you needed to rack up the style points and the voters had a lot of influence and you needed the selection committee, you needed the metrics to all favor you. That world does not exist.
It doesn't exist anymore.
The other part about this current era of college football and the expansion of the Big Ten and the playoff is that winning every game ensures you a seat at the table. And you are growing. If you're Ohio State, now not every program is afforded the luxury of operating the way that the Buckeyes are right now. I mean, I don't need to point in any direction, either to the east or to the north, to find ready-made examples of teams that can't afford that window.
Michigan State and Rutgers, he's talking about.
They don't have that luxury.
Oh, yeah.
But Penn State sure doesn't, and Michigan doesn't either now. No. So you look at these situations, and they may have thought that they could do that, and they could take it slow in September, and James Franklin wouldn't be out of a job by the middle of October. But, you know, they didn't have the same margin for error as Ohio State has built for itself and built over time. And it is just a recalibration. Now, you've been using that word a lot, but if you win every game in the regular season, and even if you lose one, or God forbid, even two, like they did a year ago, there's still going to be room at the table. So not every Saturday, and this is important, I think, for America. I think it's important for you and me when we're talking about it on Snap Judgments, when we're talking about it on Talking Tuesday. These regular season games, you are trying to manage them. And if they get hairy, awkward, you need to flip up the switch. Ohio State's shown an ability to do that.
100%.
But they're not going to worry. And they're certainly not going to complain when they win by 18 in these situations or win the way they did at Washington. Even if they won by a field goal, there would not be any sense of panic or needing to go, you know, search desperately for solutions. If they win them all by
one by a field goal, I'd be a little more. I wouldn't be up here as excited.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I would
get burned.
I would understand that. But then we would be talking about, you know, that if that had happened, what that means in the long run, if some of these issues are recurring or not. You and I talked about this after the game on Saturday.
Yeah.
The lack of focus that happened in one quarter on Saturday, that's the first time we've seen that.
And it's not, you're right, it's not going to happen again. It's a good lesson to learn on the road at Illinois.
And it's also human nature that is going to happen at some point for college football teams. And so, yes, that's a lesson over here. I think it's a one-off. If it happens again in the fourth quarter against Wisconsin, well, we're going to talk about it. But I'd be surprised if it does. By the same token, there are things that have recurred that have happened multiple times. And the only place that I think we can really pinpoint for that is what's going on with the running game and maybe some of the red zone efficiency. And this is looped in. We won't get an answer, I can promise you that, about Bo Jackson's ankle. But, you know, there are personnel matters that have to be sorted out. As you mentioned,
Jeremiah's back is, I mean, he...
That didn't look fun.
No.
I bet on Sunday he woke up feeling a little bit sore.
Yeah, a little tight. Looked like me after a golf outing.
Yeah.
You know, very similar.
But I think, you know, that's not to say... I did not mention it is okay in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for them to take a loss. They don't view it that way. They know that they have responded to losses and won a national championship. That happened a year ago. But they haven't even come close through six games to losing. They've been in control of them from start to finish, even against Texas in a one-score game.
I just know that you and I are going to be standing here next week when Ohio State wins this Wisconsin game 38-0 or 42-0. We're going to be having the same discussion because they could have won 70-0. And God forbid.
You don't want to do that to Luke.
What if they win 38-7? What if they give up a touchdown?
Well, that'd be one more touchdown than Iowa gave up against the Badgers in the same place.
That's true. I am very optimistic about this Buckeye team. I think sometimes, and you know, people are going to comment and say, I hate this Adam King guy. He's wrong. He's an idiot.
He reads every comment.
And that's fine. And I do. And you might be right, but I will say, look around college football. You want to be upset about an 18-point road win against a top 20 team?
You just have to look east and
north. Look east and north, but not only east and north. Look at Oregon. That is an untouchable program, everybody thought. That's Dan Lanning has built an empire. They are back to square one right now. They lost to Indiana and don't know what in the world is going on there. So winning football games ain't easy. Winning football games by 18 and being unhappy is a remarkable pleasure that we all get here in Columbus.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
You have to win games.
You play to win the game.
Ohio State's still doing that.
They are.
They're doing it comfortably.
And they're going to do it comfortably again this weekend. 42-0.
They're also just doing it with a different side. The other part of me, and you can vouch for this, and I should ask Burnham, and I will at some point. Like, these are the kind of wins that, like, would have winning by 18 in Illinois or winning in the fashion that they did against Washington on the road. If Jim Tressel had done that,
oh, yeah,
there would be parades.
Yeah.
Like, this is the ultimate version, fully formed. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe the special teams for Tress would have been better, so maybe that's not a perfect comparison.
Yeah, I was thinking when you said that if they won by a field goal, I was thinking, hey, Jaden Fielding made a game-winning field goal. All right.
Yeah, so that it's not a perfect comparison, but it's also a reminder of, like, how dramatically Ryan Day helps change the standard of the Ohio State offense.
Standard is a standard.
Because they, like, scored 34 points on the road against a ranked opponent, and that's generally going to win you most games.
It's going to win you a lot of games. 34 points. If Ohio State can score over 30 in every game this season, they will be holding a shiny gold trophy at the end of the year.
They sure will. They'll also be holding a Big Ten championship trophy. Mm-hmm. They'll get another trophy from the Rose Bowl.
You think they'll go to the Rose Bowl?
Well, if they get the Big Ten trophy.
Okay, real quick. Can I?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
so you're the number one seed, right? You get to pick where you go.
You don't. No.
You don't anymore.
No.
Oh, see the new player.
Now, explain this so that America can
There's
start
so
playing.
Many changes. I forgot about them.
Based on the way that they have done this current 12-team expansion of the college football playoff, the top four seeds, they still send to where they are. Their,
oh, okay, yes.
Their
the closest.
Not proximity. Conference tie-ins. Traditional
so you got to go to the Rose Bowl.
Unfortunately.
Okay. I didn't. Because it used to be you could pick proximity.
Correct, for the playoff.
Yeah, for the playoff. Okay, I didn't know they changed that. I wasn't really looking into that because Ohio State wasn't the number one seed last year.
Yeah.
I was going to say, and here's my debate, if you could pick, there is one place that I know Ryan Day would go. Where would he go? Real quick.
For this game?
For if he could pick the first bye and he got to choose what bowl game, where would he go?
I think he loves the Rose Bowl.
Nope. You go to Miami because then you've been there and you've done it. And you say, all right, guys, there it was. We played down there. Let's wrap it up. Now in 2 weeks, same mantra.
Yeah.
Some team is going to get very lucky if they end up in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah. That will not be an option for Ohio State.
It will not.
Because.
Cancel your flights.
Because they're going to go 12-0. Then they're going to beat Indiana in the Big Ten championship game.
And then it's going to be another trip out west.
And then, unfortunately, we're going to Los Angeles again.
Unfortunately.
Oh, I forgot. Adam King loves the Rose Bowl.
It's amazing. Don't let this man tell you about the Rose Bowl. It's beautiful. It's got a cool hat from it.
We can't agree about everything on Talking Tuesday, but we do agree about most things. Ohio State, good at football, and we're going to try and find some answers out from Ryan Day in the Woody later on today. On Tuesday, we'll hear from the Buckeyes and Ryan Day again on Wednesday night. We'll have snap judgments. Burn will be back for both of those as we roll along on the beat and get ready for Ohio State at Wisconsin. He will not be there. I'm just going to tell you right now, America.
Oh, no. The comments are going to be so bad.
Snap judgments.
Oh, no.
Adam Burn has not been replaced because of the negativity on Saturday. He's got a wedding, but we got pregame keys and we've got snap judgments.
Make sure you reply to Berm on Twitter and say congrats on getting married because he's just got a wedding this weekend. Make sure you tell him that.
Ooh, I don't know if that's a good idea. Anyway, just that's what the week ahead is going to look like. The work week is ramping up because we've got a Talking Tuesday out of the way. Stay tuned for all of that on 97.1 The Fan, the YouTube channel there, 10 TV. 10 TV Plus, and anywhere that you download podcasts. We appreciate you very much. He is television's Adam King. I am Austin Ward. We'll talk to you later.
Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.